from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 36 to 31. And I will quickly go over for those of us who are not paying attention. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south, unto thy way, that goeth known from Jerusalem into the desert, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, on Arcadius, queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of a treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, sitting in the chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thereto to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said to him, thou understand that which readeth? To the one voice said, and he said, how can I except someone to guide me? And he desired Philip that he enter, that you come unto him and sit with him. Today, the title of the sermon this morning I will share with you is, how do you know what you know? How do you know what you know? Philip asked the eunuch, do you understand what you are reading? He said, how? Until somebody got me. Brethren, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, the scripture says, my people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. As Christians, the scripture requires us to set standards. Christians are to set standards. And not only standards, we are to provide solutions for those who are outside the body of Christ. They come to us for solutions. Brethren, the world that we live in is watching our steps daily. And there's expectations. They are watching us with an expectation to prove what we claim to know about the faith we share in Christ Jesus. In the words of one English professor, they call him Professor Walter Lippmann, he said, the song we sing is meaningless, will be meaningless if the audience is deaf. When the audience cannot understand the song, what is it meaning? When you claim to be a Christian and nobody see any fruit in you. We can and can never prove anything if we refuse or demonstrate to prove what we know. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, tells us that we have been crowned by a crowd of witnesses. People are looking at us. You as a Christian. To show those Christian attitudes that will make you different in a community or in the society you live. Not only that, it's asking us to lay aside anything that will beset us, that will stop us from getting the crown. We can only be possible if we prove what we know. Brethren, I want you to know that a Christian life is a gain. And that gain starts immediately when you start to breathe. That's where the game begins. It love for you to find a field that you play on. If you are a gossiper, you go to the gossip field. If you are a rumor monger, you go there. If you are a Confucianist, you find a field where you can play your game. If you are a Christian, you find a good ground where your game will be played so that you get good fruit. Our God is willing to work with anybody. Only those who have prepared themselves are the ones God is willing to work with. So if you prepare yourself, he will surely work with you. In Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 20 to 21 tells us about a great mansion. In that mansion, there are vessels of gold, some of wood, some of silver, some of honor and some of dishonor. So Bible says, anyone who purges yourself from A and become a vessel of honor will be prepared for the master's use. How do you know what you know? The angel told Philip to go that way. And that was the only opportunity he may have. He may not have the second opportunity to win souls to Christ. And so he explained to the Ethiopian, as they went on the road, he said, well, this is water. This is water. What stopped me from being baptized? Because he understood. Philip taught him what was required. Because Philip knows. Can we, in ourselves, be in the position to, in our workplace, in our communities? The angel trusted Philip. Say, Philip, go this way. Because Philip was willing to learn. And he learned the best way. And as a result, he produced fruits. Are you interested in looking at the side of confusion? Not to be a prophet to the church. In Matthew 25, the Bible tells us, the man was going to a faraway country. And he invited his servants to come. Look at the other servant, he gave him 5 talents. He gave the other one 2. And the third one, he gave him 1. The one that he gave 5 saw it to be a challenge. He turned that 5 into another 5. Because of what he knows. The one he gave 2 turned that 2 to another 2. But the one he gave 1 to, took it and buried it. Because he learned nothing. All the years he spent with masters, he learned nothing. So when the master came, and they began to make report, that on that day when the master shall come, for us to make report. My brother, what do you do with the 5? Master, I turn that 5 into another 5. I say, thank you. He asked the other person, oh, master, the 2 you gave me, I turn it to another 2. Say, thank you. God bless you. You use your idea wisely. That's how God wants to do. The other man, he get it one and say, because I know you to be a bad master. So all the message, all this year you work with me, you know me to be the bad master. Why do you subtract something from me? You should have taken it in the bank, like get interest on it. That's how some of us do in the church. We learn instead of bringing a prophet to the church, we try to divide the church because of what we know. Some of us are killing the church rather than building the church. If you cannot help the church, please don't destroy it. If you cannot preach, not everybody is called to preach. If you cannot teach, you have a lifestyle you live. We call it lifestyle evangelism. People will see you and emulate you. As Christians,
We must make the difference always. Do we sometimes pray for the leadership in the church? So that they can rule us well. Do we sometimes pray? And sometimes ask yourself a question. Am I living well? Because a good Christian always takes stock of his of activities. Are you taking stock of your activities? In the same Matthew 25, an invitation was extended to 10 virgins. 5, the Bible says, were very wise because they used their thought wisely. The other 5, the Bible turned out to be foolish because of their attitude. The 5 sat and think, where we're going is a distance. And 2, we don't have control over the program. So the best thing we do for ourselves is to keep pushing for our currency. The other 5 say, when we reach there, we'll find the problem. So many of us live that way. We don't want to be careful with the kind of life we live. But the 5 took charge and were able to attend the program successfully. When the bridegroom were coming, the 5 kerosene went off and asked, please help us. Please help us. Said no. They had to leave, knock doors in the communities to get kerosene. Before they could get there, the program was late. So the day Lord shall come, Master, I used to be in the church always. I used to give all the money you think about. Say, if you do it to please yourself, depart from me. Because you did not prepare yourself. So what we know as in the church, put on the position to do our job well as Christians. But we know put in a better position for us to take stock of our activities. We need to take stock. As a business person, when you're doing business, sometimes you sit down to take stock of your activities. While you make profit or not, you need to do that. It's important as Christians. We can never be right if we apply to know, to do what we know. Our God is depending on us. Somebody said a story one time. It's not in the Bible. When Jesus completed his work on earth, he went to heaven. And he was received by the apostles, the angels, and had a good program for him, an elaborate program for Jesus. Thanking him for the sacrifices he went through, thanking him for all he did. Then one of the angels asked, Master, who did you leave the work with while you are here? You just left the well like that? He said, no. I have people there that will carry on the work. Our Lord is depending on you and myself to carry on the work. Our Lord has worked out our salvation. He has completed the spiritual side. He left us to work the human side. If we work at the human side, we'll be prepared for the Master's use. Apostle Paul said to Timothy, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. See the man still living, and he tell me his result. What kind of man is that? I fought a good fight. I finished the course. There's a crown of righteousness which a righteous judge will give me. And one thing he said, not for me only, for all those who endure to the end. So that's our charge. This is a serious challenge that we as Christians must do so that those who are outside the body of Christ will see us and they know, yes, indeed, we have somebody that we depend on. But I want to usher this out. How do you know what you know? I'm sure you're not coming to pews for nothing. You're not coming here to correct the numbers. I want to say a big thank you to the elders of Northwest. The website is helping us too well. Brother Branch and I, he took me out to eat. Then I began to explain to him how effective the website is. Then I told him, that's one someone I like. What says, what type of soil is your heart? It was preached by one John Bray. He said, do you know John Bray? I said, no. He said, yeah, man. It's Jesus there. So you see how effective the program is. I want to encourage you to always do it. And Wednesday, sometimes we just play and record it and play and listen to most of the sermons that has been done here. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. He said, do you know who John Bryan is? I said, no. He said, yeah, ma. See, how do you know what you know? So why I want you to take home today. I have an obligation. You have an obligation as Christians to change the world. You have to change the world we live in. I know it's sometimes difficult because of the circumstances we find ourselves. But pray that God help you. That God help you. There was a sister in Liberia, sick. She went to all the hospitals and there's no solution. So we were building an edifice. They brought dead. She left her sick bed to take the dead from the grove and carry the edifice. That was the end of her sickness. Right there, immediately, she was healed. Because she took time off to come join the brethren. Though she was sick, but she took time off to join the brethren. We there at Point 4, we're building the edifice, but push on. Our Netflix rain falls in the church. So we told the brethren, let's find a place where we can be temporarily to be. Brethren said, we are not going to go anywhere. We'll stay here, rain will beat us. Because this is where we belong and we'll be here. When God sees our rain be beating us, God will know that he will intervene. And surely through the grace of God, the Northwest were able to send me 1,000 that I want to use to roof the place. I want to thank God for all of you. You're so great. You're doing something great. Sometimes you don't know what you're doing. But your effort is really making more. Right now, the church has increased. And most of the material we receive from here, we're using them correctly. Because Northwest is on our side. So we need not to worry. In Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. When we say in Jesus' name, we say amen. See, I'm thankful to all of you. I pray that this message will be a very important one to you. Because as Christians, we are called to bear fruit. We must bear fruit. And we can only bear fruit depending on what you know. You see, the Egyptian, you know, asked Philip, how can I accept somebody? Guide me. And right there, Philip took advantage and explained to him about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, but yes, water. Can anything stop me from being baptized? Because you got the understanding already. Now the brother said, I was a member of the Catholic Church. Going to church in the morning, and I saw the brethren were evangelism. They were having an evangelism program. So they asked me, Brother Gabriel, can you stand? I said, no, I have some time. I'm very late. But after the service, I will come back. And surely I went back, and I met one brother called Brother Global. I came, wrote all the questions, I think. I said, not Mary. You see, it's Columbia, I'm going there. Prepare all the questions I think I will ask. And he was so patient enough. As I asked, he said, wait a minute. You show me the scripture, you give me the Bible, I read it. When I ask another question, you look at it, read it yourself. I'm not going to read because it's not me put it there. I read it. After all, he said, do you have anything to say again? I said, nothing. That came into the water, I want to be baptized right away. And from there, I never went back. Because he proved to me why he knew. He proved to me why he knew about the scripture. So you're going to be another man say, wait, I don't have the time now, but this and that. But you are patient enough to explain to me what the Bible required of me. And when I got to understand it, he asked me, do you have any question?
I said, my list has just set. I look at it and say, well, no question.
He said, think about it. Think about another question. I said, I'm finished. He said, what do you say? I said, let's go to the water. And went to the water and I was baptized. From that very moment, I never went back. One of my friends asked me, so why the baptism was so quick? I said, because I had no defense. What would be my defense? Because the man afforded me all the opportunity. I asked questions. I thought I was asking questions to entrap him, not knowing I was just wasting my time. So I told him, you better join me too, because there are no defense. All my questions I have, the list is just nothing I have. And he said, afforded me an opportunity to ask more questions. So I want you to join me, because I have no defense. And now that my baptism was quick, well, I have no defense. If I had defense, fine. But every question I thought to ask, but all answers satisfactorily. So why would I delay? So I went, I became part of the Lord's Church, 1987. And since then, I've been carrying on the gospel up to present. And I want to thank God for the opportunity that's given me to travel all the way here. And anything I tell my Lord, he always do it for me. In my country, to get a United States visa is very difficult. So I had a prayer one morning. I said, Lord, I'm going to the embassy. You go in front of me. Before I reach there, I'm going to meet you there. And he was there. And the counselor asked me, counselor started laughing. Just look at me and just staring and laughing. I said, have I done anything wrong? He said, no. He started laughing. You wouldn't ask me, have you went to the United States before? I said, no. He said, go come back for your visa on Wednesday. I said, thank you. I said, I didn't come here alone. I came with somebody. He said, no, look. Well, I see you are listening. He looked at me, but I said, I see you are listening. I said, somebody is here. He's an invisible guest. He's here. He's okay. He's okay. I see you. So, brethren, the Lord we serve is able. He's really able. I want you to see it as a challenge. Learn more. So that when you learn, you put what you learn into practice. When you know what you know, it's difficult for anybody to push you around. But if you don't know what you know, every wind of doctrine will carry you away. I want you to stand strong. Let God be with you and guide you as you worship him. The man asked Philip, how can I accept somebody guide me? The Philip was the kind of man who was not studying. I'm going to say, okay, wait, let me go call my brother. And maybe a problem may never return. But that was an opportunity. You may not have the second opportunity. And the Bible tells me, if you've been, you know, God baptized, happily going. You see that. Philip explained to him what he was reading about. Many of us don't understand sometimes the scripture. It's not a bad thing to ask brother to explain to you what you don't understand. That's why we come to Bible classes. I was here this Wednesday, and Brother Hall spoke. Beautiful lesson. And I really enjoyed that. But many of you are not here, and you miss it. You miss it. He talks about discipline. How, as Christians, we're supposed to do in our Christian sojourn. And what interests me most, ladies were asking questions. That would put a leadership in a position that people are looking at them. If ladies are asked critical questions, it means that they are following the steps. So I want to encourage you. Let God be your God in your life as you go in your Christian journey. If anybody here in this sermon been touched by it, and when the prayer, we'll pray with you. Those who stay outside and waiting. Maybe, like somebody said, he had a car accident, everybody died, he had no survive.
So he said, God wants him to serve him.
So why are you waiting for that time to come? To have an accident and you will lose survive before you can reach your goal. Or you're waiting to have a dream, to see somebody will long be appear in your dream. That what you waiting for? But the time is near. Time and time wait for no man. We must be ready at all times to listen to the gospel call. I want to encourage you, if you are a visitor here tonight, this one, make a decision right away. Don't waste any time. You may not have time in your favor. Or God is anxiously waiting to receive you once you accept him. He's a great God. He is a great God. You may never know. When you pray, he listens to your prayer and willing to guide you. There are many instances in the Bible that tells us. Like Peter denied Christ 3 times. But did that stop the relationship between and God? No way. Peter repented. And God worked out good miracles in the hands of Peter. But this is the man who denied Savior 3 times. That should be, in fact, the end of the relationship. But yet he prayed for forgiveness. So come through him. He's patiently waiting to receive you. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who opens the door, I will enter. Our master is waiting. So your waiting will be at your disadvantage. There is no visitor seat in heaven. There is no visitor seat in heaven. All those who go in heaven are the redeemed saints who have gone through trials and tribulations and have gone to receive the promise the master prepared for them. So you are visiting. You have the time. You still have the opportunity. That's why I say the life we play is a game. When we start to breathe, the game starts already. Because our God is a living God, not a dead God. So you are breathing, and you stay wasting time. You're doing it at your disadvantage. The game on. Or if you sit on the bench, you don't know what to do. When a referee blows his whistle up for 90 minutes gone, it'll be late for you. When you sit on the bench, you don't know what to do. The game has a time. Have a time span. The time span is our life. If you waste time, when the game is over, you are over. It's not time. I want to encourage you, all of us. If you're a Christian and need prayer for rededication, you are welcome to come. If you need Christ to be baptized, right away, we'll be baptized. And thereon, you join the saints in promulgating the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The time is now. You may not have the second chance. There's a brother in South Africa who just said they're gone Wednesday. They say he wrote, there's a brother who was passing the graveyard and started to read all the inscriptions on the grave. May your soul rest in peace. They started reading. They heard a voice. Why are you just reading all these things? You don't have what to do. You're just reading all these things. Yesterday I was like you, but today see where I am today. He said, yeah, I know. But I want to know how am I going to you. It's a meeting. I knew I would die. But how am I going? So I know. There's no question about it. When my time reach, I will go. But how am I going? It's what worried me today. I will join you. I know you were like me yesterday. And today you're in the grave. But I too will go there. But how am I going? It's what worried me and what keeps me. But that should not be your worry. God has provided opportunity for us to see. To make the adjustment we cry to do. We can make a better being with God. Today, the church is like a wilderness. When Christ has come, when he comes, the sign and your salvation is complete. So those who are prepared are the ones. Our Lord will come to me. Come and inherit what was prepared for the foundation of this world. come unto me. And the Lord will receive you unto himself. And you take it where he is, because he said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If not so, I'm not going to take, I'm not going to tell you. But there's a place prepared for you and I. We're just passing through in this world, in this troublesome world. When a Christian knows that the world is a troublesome world, we have a better place that our master prepared for us. So I want to watch you, I want to encourage you. As I come to close, what do you know, what you know? You can help us better. Make us to keep stock of our activities. You ask yourself a question. Am I living right for God? Am I doing what is required of me? Or am I still wasting time? Then you are taking stock of your activities. We want to be the five virgins. So when we reach there, we'll solve the problem. We are preparing now, like the other five did. Because of their activities, the Bible referred to them as being foolish. But I don't want to say wise. Because anytime they take that step, they look in there before they take a move. Anytime they make a decision, they make sure God is in their decision. See. So the Bible says they were five virgins. And remind you, every one of them were called. They didn't say, other person, I'm not a sinner. No. The church door is open. And still, other people feel to do other things. But my late father used to say, when a student can be concerned when the bell is ringing for school bell, you know that either you're running late, you can't go to class. But if you're not a student, they can ring the bell from the morning to the afternoon. It makes no matter to you. See, we should do our best so that our God can put us in a rightful place. But first, how do you know what you know? You're not going to keep everything in your head here from Genesis to Revelation? No. You got to put it into practice. Therefore, know that you belong to Christ. Spirituality is not what a person is, but what he or she does. What spirituality is about. If you're spiritual, people will see you at the interaction, your activities in the church. Say, yeah, this brother is a core brother. So I want to encourage you this hour. Come out if you need prayers. Brethren here will help you. If you're a visitor, come from your seat and make the decision right now, so to speak. And now is the time. No more salvation. You may not have the second chance. That was an Ethiopian, you know, was very happy when Philip taught him. He said, well, here is water. Here is water. He keep emphasizing, here is water. Can anything stop me from being baptized? Man of high authority. He considered authority as nothing when it comes to Christ Jesus. Like one of my brother told me, he went to Kenya. He visited Kenya and he saw a bank owner. Came early in the morning and wipe the pills. And my own bank were wiping the pill. I said, oh, mama. I said, no. When we come here, somebody is hiring us. But we also, we have a bank owner. Not even a president of the bank, but a man who owns the bank. Comes early, very early, to clean the pill. He and his wife, hot water, the children hot water, in the bathroom, he goes and clean the pills because people will sit down. So when the brother saw him, he wanted to go and give you some arm. I said, stop. That man is a bank owner. He's just running your service. Not that he needs anything from you. He owns bank. But see what you're doing. Because when you come to the house of God, he considers and says, nothing rather than God. See. So people like that, who you come here, you don't miss an X, Mr. Y. That is not to God. So the brother was too confused. Because in our country, people like to be worshipped. In the government, they come, or people give them the best seat. Because they give, time for giving, they give the highest. So people admire them for that. And try to show off. But there are some who are very quiet. They just put it in the envelope and put it on quietly and go about their business. They got nothing to prove to God. So I'm very happy to be here. And I got a good news to share if I go home. At least by the grace of God this Tuesday. This week Tuesday. And I'm so happy. I'm so glad to be here. And I want to tell you thank you for the website. It's helping a lot. Don't get tired. Every information is important. What type of soil in your heart? Behold, the resurrection. Things that can kill the church. All these are just, we play them and we listen to them. And they are helping really well. You may not know that your sermon is having an impact some 5,000 miles away. I'm going to thank God for that. Keep on the website. Pull more information that we can use to educate people. I want to thank you. May God bless you and keep you safe. In Jesus' name. Jesus is for